Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive the reward of a righteous man. Whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, Jesus concludes all the instructions that he gave to his 12 as he was about to send them on out. We see at the very end of the scene an interesting phrase. When Jesus had finished giving all these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and preach in those towns. Jesus was going to live by the very principles he was giving to the 12. As he was sending them, he himself was going to be going on out. And throughout all of this, there's an overarching theme of Jesus' message. And Pope Francis highlighted it yesterday in Paraguay in his last Mass on his very powerful trip to Latin America. He said, when you look at all of these instructions, which we've had over the course of this last week, and which we had in St. Mark's version yesterday at Sunday Mass, he said we could focus on lots of things. We could focus on money bags. We could focus on sandals. We could focus on tunics. We could focus on walking sticks. He says all of which are important to be able to get a message of what Jesus was trying to send through us. He said, the most important thing of all that doesn't get enough attention, and he's right, is the criterion on the basis of which we would be able to see whether the gospel is being received and how the community that receives that gospel is supposed to grow. He said it is all about welcoming. He says if you go to a town and they welcome you, stay there. You go to a house and they give you welcome, stay there until you leave. If they don't welcome you, wipe the dust off the bottom of your sandals and go to another town. It'll be worse for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Sodom, that rather than welcome, tried to molest guests who had come to that town. It's all about welcoming. And Pope Francis would then go on to say, the church is a mother who has to learn how to welcome. That is something that she's supposed to do naturally, supernaturally we could say, but it's something that we need to be reminded of always to see whether we are welcoming everyone in the Lord Jesus' name. Today, in this concluding part of Jesus' instructions, he talks under various headings about welcome. He says some are going to welcome, some are not. Begins by saying he had come to bring not peace, but the sword upon the earth. People were going to have to make a choice, and the choice was going to be hard. Yes, he is as the prophet Isaiah said centuries before, the Prince of Peace. Yes, when he was born, the angels were singing in the highest, peace to people on earth. He would say during the Last Supper, "My peace I leave you." He would even give them the instruction that when you enter a house, say, "Peace to this household." And if a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. And at the same time, in the very same discourse, Jesus said, "I've come not to bring peace," which of course he did, but to bring the sword. That as a result of him, there would be division. Not that he wants division, but the division would ensue as a result of sin. You could almost define sin as this unwelcoming of God and God's action and those God sends us in his name. Come to sad, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, one's enemies will be those of his household. Many of us have personally experienced and accompanied many others who have personally experienced the bitter truth of these words, that when one person in a home starts to make Jesus the ultimate principle in life, when someone puts Jesus above father and mother, above son and daughter, when someone embraces the cross that Jesus always gives, it makes others a little jealous, makes others on occasion even envious. I remember when I was growing up, my dad is a really good man. St. Joseph has his face. He's a really wonderful, wonderful man. But he opposed my mom's work with the Legion of Mary. My mom was the president of two Presidia. She was spending a lot of work in turning our kitchen table into her office and all these other things. But what it was really all about, and I saw it, was my dad was jealous of my mom's time. That when she was putting Jesus above every other thing, my dad felt second fiddle and he wanted to be first fiddle. He eventually grew, he eventually started to support rather than oppose. But at that level, you could see it. So many others in parishes, once one of the person starts going to Eucharistic Adoration or to daily mass or regularly to confession, it creates a standard that the other doesn't want to live by. And so that rather than applauding how this person's growing in faith, a lot of the times the person gets opposition. And when one person fully welcomes what God is trying to do, the others who are giving a partial welcome or no welcome at all, rather than supporting, they make it difficult. That's what Jesus is describing. But for us, truly to welcome him, we must recognize that he's above every other person. We must love him even in the cross. We must be willing to lose our life for his sake in order to be able to embrace it. That's part of the welcoming that we give to Jesus, not partial, but total. Then he starts to make some incredible promises. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Little do you know, sisters, that every morning, that when you welcome me so well, you're receiving Jesus and you're receiving God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know you know that and you're very conscious of it every morning, but listen, that's what it is. Every time Sister Bridget leaves me a cup of cold water in the sacristy, she's getting an eternal reward. Jesus sets it up that way, that in the welcoming, we are always going to hear him say, "I was a stranger, I was a missionary, I was coming and thirsty, and you gave me welcome." The essential sin that we see of Pharaoh in today's first reading was this lack of welcoming. First, a lack of welcoming of history. A new king who knew nothing of Joseph came to power in Egypt. How was it that he knew nothing of Joseph? Joseph was the famous one for his ancestor, the Pharaoh, had saved Egypt from the great famine. you would clearly have been passed down, just like the famous figures in the history of any nation are passed down. Except when you're selfish, and when it's all about you, and you think history has begun with you, you're not even welcoming how you got there. You're not even welcoming your roots. So then we start to see how that lack of welcoming, that lack of hospitality, metastasizes. Start to get jealous. He's not even going to welcome the Israelites. There was an Israelite who had saved you. But no, forgotten them all. Look how numerous and powerful the children, the people of the children of Israel are growing. More so than we ourselves. So start to put them in abject slavery. Then start to kill, through exposure, all the males who were born to the Hebrews. And the same thing happened in Christianity over the course of time. Not formally, but in the lives of so many Christians, that we forgot that our Savior was a Jew. We forgot that His mother was a Jew. A lot of the times we treated the Jews far less welcoming than they ought to have been received. We had committed the same sin against the memory which helps us in the present to welcome. Because if we know someone's providence, it's so much easier for us to give them the welcome they deserve. And that's what comes into this culture of the killing of the young that continues down to our own day. This lack of welcoming, this lack of hospitality, this sense that unless I want and I have chosen, I have a right to slam the door in other people's faces and even to take their lives. Pope Francis was saying yesterday, it's all about welcoming. When we celebrate this feast of St. Henry, the Holy Roman Emperor, we can see that even though he was king, he always had a welcome for the poor. He didn't look at his status as something to separate himself from others. He looked at his status as something that impelled him to serve. He really was an example of that old aphorism, noblesse oblige, that if you've received some gifts, you are obliged to use them for others. But it all began with welcoming people as brothers, welcoming people as if they were directly sent by the Lord Jesus. Because in welcoming them, he was growing in his relationship with the Lord and in the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit with the Father. The greatest means God gives us in order to exercise this hospitality happens here at Mass. As we welcome with good soil the Word of God, with its power to change our life forever. So we welcome each other, because Mass wouldn't be the same if one of you were not here. We welcome each other. We seek to pray as one body, one spirit in Christ, stronger by the presence of the other. Most importantly and obviously, we welcome Jesus, the same Jesus who sent out these 12, the same Jesus who himself would go to the neighboring towns and villages to teach and preach, the same Jesus who came to us as a little baby, comes to us in an even more humble disguise on the altar, and wants us to welcome him here, so that at the end of time, with far more than a glass of water, he with all the saints will be able to thank us for that welcome by echoing it across the heavenly portal. This is Christianity. This double welcoming, welcoming the Lord and others and being welcomed by the Lord and others. May the Lord today make us truly hospitable, seeing the hospes, the guest, the stranger, as Christ in disguise, having recognized him here first. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.